Hello, welcome to AboveTopSecret.com and another member podcast. This is True American, your friendly partisan to the truth, and a podcast response reply to Sophie Crowe's Quakes Make Quakes Thread. Hey, Sophie, that was a really cool podcast, and I'm really digging the way you're using effects and stuff. I think you'd ask a question there if the hypnotic effect actually detracts or increases the information that you're delivering, and I think in a certain way it does to me, but I'm pretty perceptive, I guess, and about sound in itself, and it may affect me, yes, to some degree. For straight information threads, although it's entertaining, I guess myself, to answer your question, would prefer more straight talk when it deals with subject matter such as this that can get very technical. Notwithstanding that, though, I think your podcast is really cool. I wanted to discuss one of the first things you pointed out in your podcast about the issue of resonance in an empty cavity and whether or not seismic propagation of waves, whether the resonance in the cavity could affect that. And it's a very interesting and actually pretty technical, complicated issue to really answer with any kind of definite answer. But this is where it gets interesting. As it turns out, did you know that the amount of damage that a building will sustain is directly proportional to the size of the building and the distance of the building from the epicenter of the earthquake? It's a interesting thing. The resonance of a building in itself can have a major effect on the amount of damage it sustains. And how far that is from the epicenter is a big issue because, as it turns out, when an earthquake happens, as the waves, the various four types of waves that there are, SP and Love and another one, as those propagate, they are attenuated to some degree by the materials that they travel through. And so what ends up happening is that high frequencies, higher frequencies of the waves that are traveling through the earth get attenuated much quicker. And therefore, the further you get from the epicenter of a quake, the less high frequency will be present when the ground actually shakes. So the issue of resonance, inherent resonance in buildings, is a major deal. And interestingly, just thought I'd state a little fact here that's kind of cool to know. In the Mexico City earthquake, there were some studies done, and they couldn't figure out why some buildings were left standing right next to other bigger buildings. And they finally determined that it was resonance was the cause. You see, every natural item, any item, even, you know, a lamp on your desk or, you know, the shell of your house, has its own inherent resonant frequency. In other words, it will vibrate if excited by a sound wave at a certain frequency. And so bringing all this back around to your theory of whether or not empty cavities below the earth could cause amplification of the seismic waves, it's a real interesting question, and the technical answer to it is maybe, and depending on a lot of factors involved. The factors and the resonance are, you know, two of the issues that you really would have to look at. You'd need to know, of course, the size of the cavity, and in this case, I think we are talking about some really, really big spaces down there, and this becomes a question of the measurement of the resonant frequency of the cavity versus the measurement of the particular frequency of the wave that you're talking about, and B, which wave it is, whether it's an S wave, P wave, or the other two types. But anyway, so the problem is that your question is phrased in such a way that it's difficult to actually answer it technically because certain specifications haven't been provided with the theory, such as, you know, is this an S wave, a P wave, or which wave are you talking about? But to try to get rid of the technical jargon and bring this down to, you know, something that somebody can understand, I think it would be possible, yes, for an empty cavity down there to resonate at a frequency where a seismic wave coming along and hitting that cavity could possibly cause the shell of that cavity to resonate in direct accordance with the seismic wave and therefore amplify the seismic wave. We are dealing here with extremely low frequencies beyond that of human hearing capability. When an earthquake happens, we really feel it more than hear it because of that very fact, because these frequencies are extremely low, and I'm talking below 20 hertz, which is the low-end spectrum of normal human hearing. There might be a couple people that could hear 18 hertz, but they're going to be few and far between, and certainly nobody's going to hear 15 hertz. Now, earthquakes typically occur at, we're talking anywhere between 0.1 thousandths of a hertz and 5 or 10 hertz, all, again, below the frequency of modern hearing, or of human hearing, I should say. So these things are kind of difficult to measure, and interestingly, the resonance frequency of a huge cavity down there could be very close, depending on the size of the cavity, to the seismic wave that is generated, to the frequency of the seismic wave that is generated. If those two match, to answer your question here, if those two match, then yes, the frequency, the wave amplitude could indeed be greater than had it not traveled through that cavity. So that's about as good as I guess I can explain it. And it really sent me for a loop there to try to figure that out, because I do have some audio engineering knowledge, and I went and researched a little bit more on waves because of that theory. So thanks for the introduction of that possible theory, because it certainly caused me to learn a lot more about the whole issue. Regarding your second theory in the podcast about whether or not the absence of a liquid in the cavity as a shock absorber, whether it be oil, water, magma, or just rock itself, can affect the intensity of the earthquake, is another good issue. And I would say that yes, most definitely it can, and that's supported by the fact that different, when a wave comes up against a barrier of any kind, or up against anything that's in its way, the density of that particular material and the orientation of it actually also has a big effect on the amplitude and propagation of that. And so what we end up here with is a situation where if you've got rock, high frequency gets attenuated very quickly, but low frequency, if it supersedes the inherent resonant frequency of the material it's traveling through, will actually go right through it, if you can understand what I'm saying. So again, another very difficult question to answer, technically speaking, but suffice it to say, yes, without anything in its way, it's going to have an easier time of getting through it. And interestingly, with the absence of, say, oil or water or magma for the wave to propagate through, you're also affecting which frequencies are attenuated in the propagation of the wave. And I'm sorry to get so technical here, folks, but, and I'm really not even getting that technical if you were to really study it. This is an incredibly complex issue, but once you understand densities and how they affect sound waves, I think you'd get a clear answer that if there's nothing there, it's going to be easier for the entire wave across all frequencies to propagate through that that barrier, or lack of a barrier, I should say. So anyway, I don't want to belabor this, and it's a very interesting post. Great podcast, Sophie. On secondhand note, I think you're absolutely right. We should, you know, let's lose all the other stuff and get back to having some fun here and talking about the issues that we love to talk about. With that, true American, friendly partisan to the truth, signing out.